Hey everyone, Josh here from Murder, Mother and Me, and I just wanted to quickly let you know that we have dropped our first episode of our brand new show, Murder, Mother and More, over on Patreon. You can subscribe at www.patreon.com/murder, mother and more. And now I'm going to play you a short snippet from our brand new episode, just to give you a little idea of what to expect from our brand new show and all of the bonus content to come in the future. Hello everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Murder, Mother and More. This is fucking, I don't even know what I'm saying.
What are you trying to say?
Honestly, I don't know.
If you are one of our Patreon listeners, thank you so much for subscribing to this channel.
We're off to a great start. So as you can see so far, this is a much more relaxed, you know.
Relaxed. Informal.
Setting. Compared to our main show.
Could it actually be any more informal than the other show?
I think for me and my mum, we just wanted this to be a place where you can just get to know us a little bit more around all of the editing that makes us sound at least semi-professional.
Debatable, but these are shorter stories, but with a lot more chat, I think.
A lot more
related topics and things as well.
We are going to explore cases that are a little bit different, maybe in theme and topic to the main podcast.
As well as murder episodes.
It's going to be, you know, still the same kind of vibe, like disappearances, but we'll also dive
mysteries.
Into some, yeah, mysterious cases, some kind of paranormal, maybe some conspiracy theories, that kind of vibe. Because it's also stuff that me and my mum are interested in as well, as like, you know, the classic murder or kidnappings and stuff like that.
Speaking of conspiracy theories though, it makes me laugh, you know, because with the dawn of the internet and everything, of course people can research things much more and can, they're more aware of things, but everything's a conspiracy theory now, and it isn't always a conspiracy theory. I'm sure there are, you know, and some cases can be, you know, attributed to that as well, but Not everything is now. Everything is. Just literally, if somebody trips over, somebody's planned that and there's something to be gained from it. You know, it's like that, isn't it? And it was like the Nicola Bully thing a while ago, you know, where the lady fell into the river. I mean, I don't know, me and you both followed
that closely, didn't we?
Yeah, I think because it was like, it was British, wasn't it, as well? And it was so mundane. It was just an ordinary thing, you know, that many people do, go out and walk your dog, and then this lady just never came back, did she? But the amount of rumours and theories and the main thing about it was the people that were going down to the actual site and walking all over the crime, if it was a crime scene, because they didn't know at that point, did they? You know, and they sort of put two and two together and caught with like 96, don't they? Now, I'm not saying there wasn't, I really don't know, but it just seems like she just had something going on and fell in the river, but...
Well, I think these extra episodes are a good chance for us to explore a little bit, you know, of more different kind of topics that we don't discuss on the main podcast. And we're going to do it in a slightly different format where we both tell a case on these episodes. So you get two cases for the price of one, basically.
Yeah, I love anything that's a bit sort of out of the ordinary, that isn't just your run-of-the-mill kind of case.
Yeah, so get ready for some weirdness coming from Patty.
Well, where you can kind of interpret things the way you want to. Which, you know, isn't always out of the realm of possibility, isn't it? What is your favourite sort of... If you had to have an answer to anything, what would it be? Maybe a case or an answer to some kind of theory. For me, it would be things to do with time travel and things. That is, I've always been interested in that. I've got no answer to it. I'm just saying it's something I'm interested in.
My top thing, I would love to know who the Zodiac Killer is.
Do you know what? That is so strange you should say that. And I always say, don't I? And this is another thing, right? You know, like psychic ability, and people laugh at it, don't they? And some people don't. I think we're becoming more aware as time goes on that, you know, your senses, there's things that we've lost over the years and things. It's like when they say about a mother's instinct, you know, when something happens and you know. But I always think that since we've got something like that between us, and I don't think you have it with everyone. Like you said before, when I was calling you, you were just going to put your finger on the...
Yeah, most of the time when I think, I'll ring my mum in a minute, she rings me that second. Yeah.
And vice versa. And there was a story that I always tell, which I don't know whether you remember, when you were a kid, and we moved into a new house, and you were in the back bedroom, and I think you were probably about maybe four at the time, something like that. And I was in the front bedroom in bed. You should have been asleep, but you weren't. And I didn't know that, though, because you were across the hallway. So your bedroom, even though it was at the back, the curtains were closed because you were all going to sleep. And I was in the front bedroom and I saw a falling star. I'd never seen a falling star. I saw it out the front bedroom window. And then I got up and went to check on you to see if you were asleep, to check you were okay. And you opened your eyes in bed and you just looked at me. It was just really strange. And I said to you, what's the matter? I said, guess what I've just seen? And you went, a falling star. And it was just the weirdest thing. I'm sorry. There's no way you could have seen that because it was the opposite side of the house. Why on earth would you say that? So you explain that to me because I've never forgotten that, right? And you had this weird smile on your face, you little weirdo. Right, so, but explain that to me because I can't explain that other than some kind of psychic connection, right?
Yeah, that is weird.
So I don't know. I've got no answer for that. But the Zodiac thing, I watched the film actually about 2 days ago. Zodiac on, I think it was on Prime actually, but, and there's so many different suspects
that would definitely be my number one, because I think it's one of my, dare I say, a favourite. It's one of my favourite cases in terms of, it's a case that I find probably the most interesting.
There was quite a bit of evidence really when you think of it now, but maybe at that time there was just no way to process it the way you can now, but you know.
I just find cases really interesting when it's like, when they kind of toy with people as well, and he sent all those cryptic notes and all those letters and all those puzzles and things like that.
And even rang into a radio station, didn't he?
Yeah, and I find stuff like that really interesting. And the fact that it's never been solved as well makes it just that little bit more interesting for me.
He's up there, isn't he? There's Jack the Ripper, there's the Zodiac. There's a few cases like that, isn't there? And as time goes on, it gets less and less likely. The thing I find interesting about Zodiac, though, is that how many people have come forward to sort of name their father as the suspect or something.
It's even worse now with TikTok and everyone's dad's the Zodiac killer or their granddad.
You know, they found something in the basement, like some kind of Zodiac, because he used to wear like a hood, didn't he, over his head with the symbol on. Have you got a favourite suspect for that, or do you not want to say now, should we do the Zodiac another week?
Yeah, we'll cover the Zodiac on the main podcast, I think.
I always say this because we've covered this case, but Maura Murray. And really, in the scheme of things, it's just another missing persons case. But I always imagine her. She was a student that went missing in America.
We actually covered that case on the main podcast. So if you haven't listened, go and listen.
But it always intrigues me that, because for some reason, I don't know why, it's like you sort of get attached to a case, isn't it, sort of thing. And I always, when we were talking about time travel before, I was thinking, I would love to stand at the side of that road and just be a bystander and watch what happened. Because it just kind of haunts me, that case. You know, she was driving down this snowy road at night. What the heck happened there? So, for me...
Mum, you can swear, you know. You can say hell. You don't need to say heck. Who says heck?
I'm trying to be PG.
What the heck?
What the hell? Okay. So, I'd like to see what really happened there. And the other thing I want to ask you is, what is your favourite conspiracy theory that people say are a conspiracy theory, then?
My favourite conspiracy theory is... Oof, that's a tough one, because I love a conspiracy theory.
It's whether you believe it or not as well, but I'm just saying what people say.
Do you know what? In the theme of what we're probably going to talk about a lot on this podcast, my favourite at the moment is the Malaysian Airlines MH370.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Because I recently watched a podcast on it on YouTube, and it was really, really eye-opening. It was the most in-depth podcast I've ever listened to about it, and it really had a lot of... things about time warping and black holes and all this type of stuff. It really piqued my interest.
Do you know what I think is the most frightening thing about that? Because they come up with a number of theories, don't they? One is the pilot was on a suicide mission, blah blah, and another one that they came up with was that the plane could be remotely controlled by other governments and things, if for want of a better word. And that really scares me, the fact that someone could possibly intervene and divert like a plane.
Someone could, but I don't think it was that.
I don't know what it was. I'd need to look at it again.
I think there's more to the story than we know.
Do you think that plane went down, though?
Or I don't think the plane went down either, no.
Well, where do you think it is? It's floating around in space somewhere.
I think it's been... I know this is going to sound absolutely wild, but I think it's been, in no other words, like teleported somewhere else.
Okay, so...
Well, actually, yeah. I mean... Does that mean the plane's gone down? I have no idea, but I think it's been transported through time and space somewhere.
That's not as sort of unthinkable as you're actually saying, really, because that during the, I think it was the 50s or 60s, there was a government plan, and they say that's what actually happened, but with a ship. So it's not out of the realms of possibility, is it? My favourite conspiracy theory is, well, the famous one, I suppose, is 9/11, isn't it? Because, you know, I've got no idea about that, really, but I'm just saying people are intent on saying that's a conspiracy. But my favourite one is the Roswell incident, where they were supposed to have captured the alien, a flying saucer. Yeah, which I believe to be true, you know, and they tried to cover it up. But that's another thing, isn't it? Whether you believe it or not is up to you.
But actually, I was going to say as well, we've got a new little setup here. I bought us some podcast arms, like microphone holders. And I tell you what, it's a game changer. Do you not think this is much easier?
Yeah, but I'm just sitting in front of a Sky satellite dish at the moment, so yeah, I can't even see anything.
They're called pop filters that you put in front of the mic, because every time I say P or B, it like pops the mic.
And anyway, apparently I slurp my coffee as well, so...
And my mum slurps down the mic, she bangs her rings all over the table. And
like
everything.
This.
Because at the moment, with, you know, our lack of investment in the podcast, we're currently sat at my mum's kitchen island in her house, and this is where we film everything from. So anyway, we've got a little bit of an upgrade, so that's good. And with that being said, I think we should get on with telling some stories, do you?
Yes. Are you going to go first today?
Yeah, I'll go first today. So, this is a bit of a wacky kind of time slip kind of story, which I think you'll quite like.
I love a good time slip, mate.
That sounded weird.
Take it out then.
No, we're not taking it now. That's the point in this one. People want to know what we say behind the scenes.
Well, now people are going to think I'm weirder than they already
think. You are
weird.
I know. Okay, right, here we go. You're driving through the Nevada desert. The road is endless. Dust swirls under your tyres. Stars stretch forever above you. You have... Sounds like a fucking poem, this, doesn't it?
Do you know what this sounds like? It sounds like the beginning of The Invaders.
Mum, I'm only two lines in.
I know, but it's just that what you're saying sounds like that 1960s programme, if anyone's as old as me, The Invaders. Da, da, da.
No one was
and
alive
driving
in 1901.
Along and a flying saucer comes down. Don't tell me a flying saucer's going to come down.
Mum, let me finish. Okay. You haven't seen another soul in hours. Then, just as the gaslight flickers on, you see it. A diner.
Yeah, he pulls up at a diner because he's tired in The Invaders.
Mum, are you going to keep doing this?
Probably.
Neon lights, a glowing sign, the Desert Sun Cafe. It's exactly what you need. A warm booth, a slice of pie, a friendly face. Wait. Let me do that again.
A coffee would be my first thing.
A warm booth, a slice of pie, a friendly face. But what if that diner shouldn't be there? And what if it wasn't? Tonight, we explore a story that begins in 1954 with two ordinary people and ends with a mystery that still haunts Nevada's Highway 375 to this day.
Okay, you know Nevada, though? It's a really weird place, isn't it?
I'm going to get into
it. And weird stuff happens in Nevada, doesn't it?
Because what is the name of...
Roswell.
No, it's the highway, isn't it? It's definitely in the story. They call it the extraterrestrial highway.
Does it lead to Roswell?
Or? It must do, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just a vast expanse of sand, isn't it? Desert, you know?
John and Elise Mitchell were newlyweds, 23 and 21 years old, driving cross-country in the summer of 1954. A honeymoon road trip from San Diego to Chicago. On July the 13th, just past 2 a.m., they were somewhere near the Nevada test site, on what's now called the extraterrestrial highway. God, I can't talk.
It's that brace, isn't it?
Tired and hungry, they spotted a glowing neon sign in the distance. The Desert Sun Cafe. A small, squat diner just sat off the road.
You wouldn't think that was weird, would you, that it was called the Desert Sun Cafe? Because you're in the desert, so that looks pretty real.
Well, and also,
it?
If it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're driving along and you're desperate for a drink or a coffee or something to eat or the toilet even, and you see this big glowing diner, you probably think, get in, come on. The lights were on, the sign buzzed, and a few vintage cars were parked outside. Inside, the smell of coffee and bacon. A waitress in a starched blue and white uniform greeted them with a smile and a strange phrase. Glad you made it through the dust. They sat, ordered pie and coffee. John remembered the music, Glenn Miller, playing fairly faintly on the jukebox. Elise noticed something else. The people. They were quiet, distant. A man at the counter turned too slowly. A woman with a baby never moved. A family of four dressed in clothes that looked decades out of date sat completely still.
Well, I think
Elise would later describe it as a place that felt posed.
The fact that no one's moving,
like
it's
the
just
people
kind
were props
of
in someone else's memory.
I could get on board with the rest
they
of
it. They ate quickly,
you know, as in
paid in cash.
You think, well, it's just an
the waitress signed
the
receipt
so
with a flourish. Thank you.
Or it could be like a theme kind of thing. So, you know, the vintage cars.
It's a bit eerie, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be like a purposeful thing.
Signing a check, you know, with your actual hand rather than on a computer or something. But the fact that no one moved, would you not be in your... I'm not saying the lying, by the way, but I'm just saying, would you not find that really strange that no one's moving?
Well, maybe you would, but is it... It's 2 a.m. in the morning, you're in the middle of the desert. Maybe it's like you've just got, like... I don't know. It's like a tiny little diner.
Yeah, but
it's like the
no
Hills
one...
of Eyes kind of vibes. Like, it's just a bit creepy,
oh,
isn't it?
It's like that pub in the American Werewolf in London where they go in the slaughtered lamb and everyone
yeah,
stops.
Do you know
and
what I mean, though? Like, yeah. It might yeah. not feel that out of place considering the situation that you're in and where you are in the world.
And
it...
they might have just glanced at them and just not really paid any attention, and it became apparent later on that, you know, that was a bit strange because no one really moved, you know, maybe that kind of thing because you're tired.
And the waitress signing it just with her initial M. Why would you even sign a receipt with,
yeah,
you,
that's
with your
what,
initial
that's
anyway.
What, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, it's going back to a bygone age, that, isn't it? When you actually had a pen and you wrote with your actual hand rather than on a computer or a till or something like that.
The next morning, they told the story to friends in the next town over, Tonopah. No one had heard of the Desert Sun Cafe. Determined to prove it, John and Elise drove back. Same stretch of road, same landmarks. No diner. No sign, no tire tracks, just sagebrush and sand. They searched for 2 whole hours. The spot where it should have been was nothing. Elise got out and walked around. No disturbed ground, no foundation, no debris. Just an overwhelming sense that something was watching. When they returned to their motel that night, Elise emptied her purse. Inside was the coffee receipt, yellowed and ink smeared. Still legible, thank you, M. No one could ever trace it. No records, no permit, no mention of the Desert Sun Cafe in any business registry, phone book or map. Okay, so as I said before, if you would like to hear the rest of this bonus episode, plus more bonus content, you can subscribe to our Patreon now at www.patreon.com/murdermotherandmore.